Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at this one verse here in this chapter, but we're also going to jump around a little bit. So keep your Bibles handy as we study this important topic this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. And there the Word of God says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." This morning, I want to preach on what role should fear have in our lives. What role should fear play in our lives? Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege to preach your word. Thank you, Lord, that you give us all the answers here in your word, that you tell us what we need for life. And I pray that as Christian people this morning, that we would be submissive and obedient to what your word teaches us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would enter into this meeting and fill me, Lord, empower me, and also work in the hearts of all those that are watching and listening. Lord, we pray you would edify us, increase our faith, stir us up, that we would walk by faith, not in fear. Lord, certainly that's your will. So would you glorify yourself during this time? Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are definitely in an unusual time in our world and our history. I suppose, back in March when COVID-19 for a lot of us really started to hit home. I joked this morning that the virus was around. You read about it in January. February, heard a lot about it. But I remember for me when the NBA closed its season, that's when I was like, wow, this must be serious. I'm just kidding. But for many of us, probably March, early March, late March is when it really started to hit home. And I remember we started to minimize our services, and eventually we stopped holding in-person church services. And I gave a lesson on the problem of fear, and I want to kind of revisit that this morning. Those of you that may have watched it, some of the things we'll talk about are familiar, but I want to do it a little more extensively this morning because I think it's in light of where we are today as Christian people in the midst of what's happening. There's caution, there's concern, but there's also panic and fear in the atmosphere. And I want to ask us this question: how should we as Christians respond to all of the panic and the circumstances that are around us today? What role, if any, should fear play in the life of a Christian? You know, God created us with the capacity for various emotions. He created us with the ability to have happiness, excitement, joy, sadness, fear even. So we have this capacity within our bodies to have these emotional responses. And to be human is to experience these emotions at some point in your life. And so I don't care how strong or tough you are, a tough guy you think you are, at one point in your life you're going to experience fear. You just are. It's part of the human experience. And so we're not saying that these emotions are wrong, but what we are going to talk about is, should emotions control you, or should you rather control your emotions? You know, some people, they live like their emotions are in the driver's seat and they're captive, tied up in the back seat, and they just have to do whatever their emotions tell them to do. And so their emotions, maybe you're in an argument with a family member, and your emotions are telling you, get angry, get upset, say something, fight fire with fire, take revenge. That's what your emotions are aching, telling you to do. But did you know you have a choice? Did you know you can choose to act on that anger, act on that emotion, or you can choose to set that anger back and maybe give a soft response? Maybe you can give that anger, that bitterness to the Lord, and you don't have to act on that anger. And the same thing with fear. Fear may be present, may be real, but you don't have to be captive to fear. It's a choice. It's a decision. It really is. And so this morning, I want us to see that there is a biblical fear that should be embraced, but there's also a carnal fear that paralyzes us and causes us to panic. And sadly causes us to be disobedient. It's this fear that the scriptures rebuke. And I want us to just be honest and let's name the elephant in the room here. The fear in America today, let's just look it square in the eyes and call it what it is. The fear is not COVID-19. The fear is death. People are afraid to die. COVID-19 is simply just a symptom of what the bigger fear actually is. It's the fear of death. And we know why the unsaved, lost world is afraid of death, because they don't know what's on the other side. Or maybe they do know, and they want to avoid it as long as possible. But what about for us as God's people, as Christians who have the Word of God, who we know what this life is about, and we also know that there's a life to come? How should we respond to fear, especially the fear of death? I want us to just be honest today. I want us to look death square in the eyes and call it what it is. I don't want to make light of death, but, you know, some people have this idea that I'll just kind of hold myself up and then I won't die. I'll avoid death. Did you know something? You're not in control of when you die. Did you know that? You weren't in control of when you were born. Why do you think you're in control of when you'll die? God is the one that's sovereign over life and over death. God is the one that knows when you're going to die, how you're going to die, when you'll die. God is the one that's in control of all of that. And I don't want to make light of death. I know death has impacted many people. It's a sad thing. Many people have died from COVID-19, and that's a tragedy. It's a sad thing. Any life that perishes, that's a sad thing, especially a life that dies without Christ and spends eternity in hell. That's a sad thing. I don't want to make light of that. But I do want us to look the fear square in the eyes and name it and know what it's about. And how should we respond to this fear? I'll tell you one thing. For the Christian, the Bible tells us that death is a defeated foe. Jesus Christ already conquered and defeated death. So why are you scared of a dead enemy? Why be afraid of an enemy that's already been conquered and defeated? That's what the Bible says. And so we have to engage this fear, recognize the fear of today is related to the fact that people are afraid to die. And so in light of this, our government is taking drastic precautions to avoid death. And so, as I mentioned earlier, everything has been halted. Everything must stop, especially churches. Oh, wait, not bars. You can stay open. Oh, wait, not grocery stores. Oh, wait, not places of work and other places of leisure. Not sports, because we need sports. And so we see what's been happening, that people want to halt, especially the work of God, it seems, because they fear death. Can I tell you something? The work of God can never and must never be halted, especially in the face of death. Listen, think about Christians all through the ages that faced death but served God anyway. We wouldn't even be here if it weren't for Christians that did that. Think about in the Roman Empire when Christians, they didn't meet in nice, fancy church buildings. You know where Christians in the Roman Empire met? They met in the catacombs. Basically a cemetery. You talk about looking death square in the eyes. They met in the cemeteries. Why? Because they knew the Romans were after them. They wanted to kill them, but they met anyway. They met, they fellowshiped anyway. They baptized anyway. They made disciples anyway. And eventually they evangelized the entire Roman Empire. Why? They did not fear death. They feared God. I think about even in church history going forward, men like Martin Luther, who led the Protestant Reformation, who in the 1500s, God led him to post his 95 theses, his arguments against the Roman Catholic Church there at the church door in Wittenberg. Did you know he did that during the Black Plague? And he could have easily said, you know what, I might die. I shouldn't do this. Can you imagine the great revival that took place? That wouldn't have happened. And I think about other revivals that have taken place, even in the midst of other sicknesses and viruses and plagues. And listen, I want us to understand this reality, that death always has been on the table as a human being and as a Christian. Life has always carried with it the risk of death. Unless you're going to decide that you're going to stay in your room the rest of your life, you're going to face death. Hey, even if you stay in your room all your life, you're going to face death at some point. And so this year, there's just been one more thing added on the list of something that might kill you. That's what's happened. But we have to answer this question that God's work cannot be halted, even in the face of our greatest fear, death. So we have to be biblical about this. God commands us as a church to baptize. That must go on. God commands the church to conduct the Lord's Supper. That must go on. God commands us to sing, that we sing into ourselves with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That must go on. God commands missionary work, evangelizing the lost. That must go on. The work of God cannot be halted because people are afraid, especially afraid to die. Again, early Christians, where would we be if those early Christians looked death right in the eye and still served God anyway? So I want to encourage you this morning, as we talk about this fear, understand what triggers fear. And maybe for some people, you need to turn off the news. Maybe you need to turn off the news. You don't have to have, you know, you don't have, I'll just spare you a few hours this week. More people are going to get COVID-19. I'm saving you a lot of time this week. Just don't watch the news this week. People are going to pass away and die, unfortunately. There's probably going to be some anxiety and rioting happening. There's going to be a lot of politicking going on. I just saved you guys probably like 12 hours of news coverage. Turn off the news and instead open your Bibles. And instead of looking at all the circumstances, wow, this is happening. Now, I can't believe all this is happening. Open your Bibles and see, wow, look at God. God is in control. God is sovereign over all. No matter how dark the circumstances are, God has a purpose and a plan. That's what happens. But so many people, they almost want the fear. You know, you put on the news, breaking news, flashing lights and flashing graphics, and your heart starts to pump. You know what happens? You can't turn away. Your eyeballs are glued, and they like that because that's money. You have to understand that the mainstream media is not in it for news. It's in it for entertainment and eyeballs. It's all about getting people to watch and advertising dollars. And so fear, yes, watch this, be scared. You can't turn away. People are dying. Death is everywhere. If we're being honest, that's always been life. There's always been death. And there will always be death. And so we as Christians must remember that God is the one that's sovereign. He's in control. So what role should fear play in our lives? Number one this morning, what is fear? What is fear? Well, fear is an anxiety or apprehension in a response to a threat of danger. It's triggered by an expectation of danger or maybe impending danger. And many people believe that you shouldn't have fear, especially in light of verses that we just looked at. God has not given us the spirit of fear. How about this passage? Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. For time's sake, I'll summarize what's happening here. Our disciples and our Lord are on the Sea of Galilee on a ship, and a terrible storm comes. And guess what Jesus is doing during this storm? You know what he's doing? He's sleeping. You know what the disciples are doing? They are panicking. And by the way, these are seasoned fishermen. They know the seas. So this storm must have been a very awful storm for them to be so fearful and afraid and scared. So they wake up the Lord, and the Lord rebukes them for waking him up, not because he wanted a good night's sleep, but because they were so fearful. Look what he said in verse 26. He said unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Notice the contrast between fear and faith. "Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come up to the other side into the country of Gergesa," the story continues with healing the demons here. But we see this story of Jesus calming the winds and the waves. It's a picture of God's Jesus Christ's sovereignty. We see his humanity, he's sleeping, but we see his deity, his sovereignty. He commands the winds and the waves. Did you know he's in control of hurricanes? He's in control of earthquakes. He's in control of plagues and pandemics and viruses too. He is in control. And so the Bible condemns fear at various points, but then there are other scriptures that teach us that we should have fear. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge." Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep His commandments." Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." 1 Peter 2:17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Those passages seem to indicate that we should have fear. So in this sense, we can say that a biblical fear is not fear of circumstances, but fear of God. The right kind of fear, there is a good fear, there is a right kind of fear, it's the fear of God. And that fear is to be struck with amazement, to be struck with awe, to be in reverence. Wow, look at God. How can I not serve a God like this? How can I not give my life to a Savior such as this? That's the mentality that the Bible asks us to have. This fear is a reverential obedience. An unbiblical fear causes us to set aside obedience in order to satiate that fear. In other words, for self-preservation. In other words, I'm afraid, so I want to protect myself. So I'm not going to obey God because I think I can help myself better than God can help me. And here's how this plays out in our money. I don't think I can give sacrificially because I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I give and I don't have enough for myself and I want to keep more for me. And we think I can manage my money more than God can manage my money. And that's how some people express their fear. This self-preservation. I won't give to missions. I won't give a tithe. I won't give sacrificially. I won't be generous to those in need because I have to protect myself. I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I give and I don't have enough for me. Fear comes out also in our reputation. What will people think if I become a sold-out Christian? I live for God. What will people say if I start becoming one of those holy rollers, always preaching about Jesus somewhere? And we're afraid of what men would think of us. And so that I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to give that track. I'm not going to stand out against sin because I'm afraid of what people will think. Fear comes out, especially nowadays, when we place our physical health and we prioritize our physical health over and above our spiritual health. Do you know that you are more than just a body? That you are a spirit and a soul? In fact, you are a spirit and a soul. You happen to have a body. That's really the biblical order that God wants us to understand. But sadly, many people, especially nowadays, we prioritize our physical health over our spiritual health because of fear. Well, whether you like it or not, fear is a fundamental part of what it means to be a human being, as I mentioned before. That's how we're wired. It's a part of our psyche. Fear begins physiologically where there's a stimulus, something in front of you, and in your brain, there's a part of your brain called the amygdala. In response to that stimulus, it triggers a fear response. It activates your motor functions in preparation for a fight or flight response. It triggers stress hormones to go throughout your nervous system. It leads to your body to change and become more efficient in the threat of danger. So your brain becomes hyper alert and focused. Your pupils dilate, your bronchi dilate, your breathing accelerates, your heart rate rises, your blood pressure rises, blood flow and stream of glucose goes to the skeletal muscles, your non-vital organs begin to shut down even, and your motor functions are prepared for this fight or flight response. All of these are physiological reactions that sometimes, you know what, they're completely out of your control, in a sense. And God made us that way, right? That's part of how God hardwired us as people. And obviously in some people, it's overactive. Some people, it's like their anxiety, they have PTSD, and so these physiological things are overactive. But we have to conclude that we have an all-wise Creator God who made us this way. And get this, this reaction is a good thing. It's a good thing that you have a fear response. You know, I remember when I was a kid and in front of me, there was a threat. I'm talking about a scary threat. You know what it was called? It was a pit bull. Right in front of me, you know, my brain got hyper alert. My eyes got ready. My heart started pumping. I started breathing heavy. And my brain said, run, get out of there. Don't stay in that yard. Get out. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, when I was a kid, you know, kids like to touch things they shouldn't touch. And I remember touching the electrical outlets. And one of those times I touched it, I got a nice little shock. It was a shock to my system. And then my curiosity said, let me go back and touch it again. And then I remembered my heart, my brain said, hey, remember what you did last time? You should be afraid. You shouldn't do that. Fear can be a good thing. It protects us. It helps us. God made us that way. Fear helps us that we look both ways before crossing the street, right? Fear helps us in many different ways in practicing healthy habits. I think now during this pandemic, a lot of people are learning about health and wellness. That's a good thing. You know, I read something more. The best thing you can do is not just wearing a mask or going out and doing this, but it's actually taking care of your immune system and all those home remedies that grandma used to talk about. Yeah, maybe she was right. And you do things to boost your immune system, because guess what? At some point in life, you're going to get sick. Whether it's COVID or not, you're going to get sick. And so boost your immune system. Yeah, that's a good thing. Practice healthy hygiene. That's a wonderful thing. The danger is letting this fear become irrational. And it paralyzes you, especially paralyzing you from doing what's right. Sadly, I think that's where many Christians are, that they've been paralyzed from being obedient to the Lord. I think of the 12 spies that were sent out, the 12 spies that were from Israel that were sent to the Canaan, to the promised land in Canaan. And they were to come back and give a report. And 10 spies were afraid and said, there's giants in the land. There's no way we could conquer this land. Let's just give up. But Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, there are giants there. They're pretty scary, but God can give us the victory. Do you see the difference? That the threat is there. The danger is real, but we're going to obey God. We're going to follow God. We're going to trust God. They weren't paralyzed by fear. So when fear keeps you from doing what God has commanded, that is a problem. So maybe this morning, God may be showing us areas, whether it's COVID-related or other fears. There's the fear of man. There's all types of fears that we can have. What should we do when fears come up? Good question. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If fear is a natural response, if fear is part of my physiological response, it's a natural part of being a human being to be fearful, how should I respond when fear comes up? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember I mentioned before, your emotions should not control you. You should control your emotions. Well, how can you control your emotions? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's what the Bible is telling us. Every thought process, that's what imaginations mean. The way you process information, the way you allow things to enter through your eyes, your process, your mind, and your heart should be under submission of Jesus Christ. That every thought process, whether it's fear, whether it's anger or bitterness, oh, I'm so angry, you don't know what this person did to me, they deserve my vengeance, and we give that thought process and we put it under submission to what does God want me to do? Oh, he asked me to forgive. He asked me not to return evil for evil, but to overcome evil with good. And I submit my thought processes to the obedience of Christ. Do you see that? So what should I do when fear pops up? You can't always control it. Fear pops up. Hey, you would be lying if these last 6 or so months you didn't experience any type of fear. All of us have been afraid. And again, we name the fear. It's afraid to die. The fear of death. If I go and do this and expose myself, I could die. What do we do with those thoughts? We submit it to Christ. We say, Lord, I'm going to bring into captivity all of these thoughts, and I want you to lead me. I want to obey you. I'm not going to be a slave or a captive to my emotions. I want to be a servant to you. That's what we do. We allow the Lord to capture our thought processes. And by the way, we also have to highlight that fear is often not even based on truth. Oftentimes, fear is based on irrational, false expectations of what might happen, but we don't even know what might happen. Listen, none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. So you might as well just obey God and leave it with Him. Amen. You might as well just trust God and leave it with Him. Say, Lord, come what may, in life or in death, I'll obey you. Now, I'm not preaching this morning that we go out seeking to put ourselves in compromising situations. You don't go out in the middle of the street with the blindfold and say, God's going to protect me. I'm all good. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about obeying what God has told you to do. God never told you to go out in the middle of the street. I'm talking about being in obedience to God's word. I'm talking about being in obedience to things like witnessing. God wants you to be a witness to those around you. So that means you have to open your mouth sometimes and witness to the lost. You pray for them, good, but there's a time to actually talk to them. That means God wants us to take a stand when friends or families are talking about sin and promoting sin. And you can speak up. Too many Christians are afraid, but you speak up and say, you know, that actually is against what God wants us to do. Did you know God has a better way? Oh, the world has its agendas, its morality. The world has its politics, and we can speak out and say, did you know God has a better way for us? We don't have to embrace this wicked morality, this wicked way of living. We don't have to live that way. But too many Christians are afraid. Okay, that's fear. But secondly, quickly, what is faith? What is faith? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe this describes faith in action. This is what faith does. Faith says, even when I can't see it, I can believe. You know, the world says seeing is believing. But the gospel says believing is seeing. Because when you believe, you're no longer blind. Your eyes are open to the truth. So faith says, I can believe even when I can't see it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. I think this is a better definition of what faith is. Hebrews 12, and let's look at verse 2, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Faith is looking to Jesus. Instead of obsessing, instead of exasperating yourself and fixating on how big the problems are and the circumstances are, you fix your eyes on how big your God is. And you see Jesus Christ. You say, Lord, you're able. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. Lord, you have a purpose and a plan for all that you do and all that you allow. Faith means you have this confidence, this belief, this reliance upon Christ. It's based on what God says. You know, faith, some people misuse faith, and it's whatever you want. That's what faith is. Name it and claim it. I want a Lamborghini. I have faith. I'm going to have it. That's carnal faith. That's what you desire. That's selfish. James rebuked that kind of prayer. That prayer God's not going to answer. No, faith is depending on what God wants and what God says, and there's a big difference. Faith says, Lord, you want me to speak to my coworker. And Lord, last time I tried, it didn't go over well, and my flesh is embarrassed. I don't want to do it, but Lord, I'm going to obey you. Faith says, Lord, I need to be in your house. I want to worship you, but Lord, I'm afraid to die with this pandemic going on. But faith says, Lord, may I be obedient to you in life or in death. Listen, I want to tell you something. I just want to be honest with you this morning that what if you obeyed the Lord and died? What if you came to church this morning, you contracted a virus or something, and you died? Maybe that makes you afraid. Could I encourage you to look at it this way, that when death comes, death finds you being obedient to your Lord and your Savior. When death comes, that we're not cowering in fear. We're not paralyzed and letting fear take over us. But when death comes, we're doing what God wants us to do. And we'll leave the results with Him. Faith says, I'm going to trust you, Lord. By the way, faith doesn't mean that everything's going to go well in your life. You can have faith and you still perish. The Apostle Paul, all the early apostles, they died. But they died serving the Lord. They died being obedient to Him. And faith says, no matter the circumstances, I'll still look to the Lord. I'll still trust the Lord. Again, faith is not presumption. Faith is not running out in the highway. Faith says, Lord, whatever you say, I'm going to do it and trust you. Faith is this absolute belief that God is always working in our lives. Faith is the idea that God is in control and I'm not, so I have to trust Him. That's my only recourse. And you know what? Faith can grow. All of us need our faith to grow. You know how your faith grows? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you read your Bible, you read about how God delivered Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how God delivered Israel. You saw how God worked in the life of David. You saw how God worked in the early church in a Roman Empire that was desperately trying to kill them. The church flourished. And you read about how big your God is. And you read God's Word, you say, Lord, how wonderful and mighty you are. I can trust you. That's what happens. And maybe the reason why some people, their faith is wanting is they're not in the Word of God. Turn off the news. Turn off CNN. Turn off the social media. Turn off your phones and get in the Word of God. Hey, I like what Brother Gary Gilmore said. Get off Facebook. Get your face in the book. Get your face in the book and you learn about what's really going on. God is in control. Instead of reading the world's headlines, read heaven's headlines. Newsflash, God is sovereign. Newsflash, God has a purpose for all that He's doing in your life. Newsflash, you can trust Him and obey Him. So we need our faith to be dependent on the Lord. We need our faith to grow by looking at the Word of God. But thirdly and quickly, biblical fear and biblical faith, we've established that there is a place for fear in our lives. A biblical fear. That's to fear God. Earlier, we looked at Matthew chapter 10, and the Lord tells us that we shouldn't fear what can kill our bodies, but we should fear what could kill our souls in hell. God is telling us, prioritize your spiritual soul, your spiritual life more than your physical life. Prioritize your eternity more than your temporal life in this world. You were always meant to die. We were always meant to die. This world is not forever. But our spirits and our souls are going to live on somewhere forever. This morning, do you know where you're going to spend your eternity? Should death come, and it will, where will you spend your eternity? He said, preacher, no one knows. No one can know. I want to encourage you, actually you can know, because God wants us to know. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Who can know? Who can have any assurance? Who can know what happens? Well, the Bible tells us. God tells us. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know that your eternal life is secured. It's a present possession. It's yours. It's not a pride thing. It's a faith thing. By the way, it comes not from trusting in yourself. It comes from believing on the Son of God. Who's that? Jesus. He died for you. He was buried and rose again. We sang that earlier. Living, He loved you. Dying, He saved you. Buried, He carried your sins far away. Listen, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. So if you put your faith and dependence on Him, He'll give you eternal life. And you don't have to fear death anymore. You can be like the Apostle Paul, who said, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In life or in death, for the Christian, it's a win-win situation because I have eternal life. And I can trust the Lord. So we don't have to fear the physical. We should fear the spiritual if you're not saved, if you're not right with God. So the biblical fear is, I'm going to fear God. That takes precedence over all my other fears. The right kind of fear takes precaution, but isn't paralyzed. And we realize that there are irrational fears. There's phobias. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. When I was young, I used to be afraid. When I was a young kid, I was really young, so don't laugh at me. I used to be afraid of going down to my basement after a certain time of night. Why? I was convinced that there were monsters there, of course. And I just wouldn't want to go down to my basement because I would hear noises, and I was convinced, see, that's a monster. I can't go down there. And that's a silly illustration when I was really, 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 really young. But yet, sometimes fear plays out that way, where it's an irrational fear, and we allow it to paralyze us from doing stuff. So I would never go into my basement. I would never even want to walk by my basement. I was too afraid. Sometimes there's other phobias and fears that we have, but if God wants us to do something, we have to give it to Him. I think back of when our missionary, Brother Sanderlin, was here, and he's a missionary in Cameroon. He flies airplanes all over Cameroon and that part of Africa. He said, Brother Lubin, you should come join me on one of my expeditions one day. You should come over to Cameroon, and I could fly you in my airplane. And I told him, Brother, I'm afraid of heights. I'm fully comfortable enough to admit that to you guys. When my friends and family go on roller coasters, I just sit back and hold all their bags, and I'm afraid of heights. And I said, Brother, I'm afraid of heights, but I'll tell you this. If God tells me I should go, I'll go. He's going to have to help me. He's going to have to give me a lot of grace. I mean, a lot of grace. But if God wants us to do something, we have to set aside our own fears and fear Him more than we fear our circumstances. The biblical fear is, I fear God. I don't have to have a fear of potential disasters. Many people live their life on the what ifs of life. David preached on that last week. What if this happens? What if that happens? And you know what? You don't know, and I don't know, and no one knows except for God. What if? You know, the Bible talks about a farmer that goes out to sow, and he says, you know, it might rain, so I won't sow today. And the next day he comes out, it might rain, so I won't sow today. It might rain, and he never ends up sowing, and he never reaps. That's how some people live their lives. There's this fear of what if, and I might fail, I might be disappointed, this might happen, that might happen. Instead of living that way, why don't you live in faith that, Lord, you know tomorrow, and I'll just leave it with you. I'll just do what you asked me to do, and I'll leave the results with you. So when we consider the panic of our day, again, we're looking it square in the eyes. The panic of COVID-19 is really the panic of death. People don't want to die. But at some point, I believe most people will be exposed to this virus. I want to give you some perspective. In America, there's 300 million people. 6 million people have contracted COVID-19, and more will. And so far, 180,000 people have died. Every year in America, alcohol and tobacco result in 570,000 deaths every single year. Boy, I wish there was as much panic to shut down bars and get rid of alcohol. That's destroying families. Actually, those are essential services in our nation today. Every year, 647,000 people die of heart disease, the leading cause of death. The leading cause of death in children is car accidents. Every year, people are dying. And this year, there was one more new thing added to the list that kills people. I want us to understand that life has always carried with it the risk of death. So how are we supposed to respond to that as a Christian? David, I think, is a great example of how to respond. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56, verse 3. David faced death many times. People were always out to get David, but he learned how to trust the Lord. May we learn how to trust the Lord in life or in death. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, I want to kind of bring this home here for us this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Talking about having a biblical fear and biblical faith. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, the Bible doesn't say bury your head under the sand and act like there's nothing wrong in the world. Oh, we know there's tragedy, there's wickedness everywhere you look. But the Bible says you don't have to dwell on that. You can think of your Lord. You can think of how he's in control. You can trust in him. And the Bible says you have a choice. You have a decision to make. What are you going to dwell on? What are you going to allow your mind to just rest on? Our minds should be resting on Christ and his promises for us. The right kind of fear should keep me from sin. The right kind of fear should cause me to obey God and will free me from all lesser fears. The right kind of faith is not the power of positive thinking. It's not name it and claim it based on my own thoughts and my own will. It's based on God's will and God's promises. That's biblical faith. And so what role should fear play in the life of a Christian? It might sound like a contradiction, but by fearing God, by fearing the Lord will abolish all other fears. Fear God. I want to close with, it's a lengthy quote, so bear with me, but I think it'll be really helpful to us, written by C.S. Lewis about 72 years ago. During the age of the fear of the atomic bomb, the World War, World War II, and in Europe and England especially, they were being bombed all the time, and there's this fear of the atomic bomb. And he writes these words, but I want you in your mind, whenever you hear atomic bomb, replace it with coronavirus. He says this, in one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. How are we to live in an atomic age? I am tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat at any night, or indeed as you are already living in an age of cancer and an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics. But we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances, in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting with our friends, not huddled together like frightened sheep, thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies, but they need not dominate our minds. This morning, I want us to consider, what are you afraid of? Let's look that fear square in the eyes and address it. And how does your understanding of God, his sovereignty, impact that fear? What will you do if God asks you to do something in light of that fear? Will you obey God? That's the question this morning. What role should fear have in our lives? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Lord, our greatest need was to be forgiven of sin, was to be delivered from the wrath of hell to receive eternal life. Lord, you met that need at Calvary. And Lord, the greatest fear that many have, which is death, Lord, you already defeated that enemy at the cross. Lord, the Apostle Paul was able to proclaim that death had lost its sting and the grave had lost its victory. Lord, you've given us the victory in Jesus Christ. Lord, would you increase our faith? Help us not to be captives to fear. Lord, we walk in wisdom. We don't walk in presumption. We walk in wisdom, but we also walk by faith. Lord, help us to trust you and to obey you as you lead us.